Welcome to the Misha Rauser Show. I'm Misha, an organizational psychologist, and I'll be taking you down a path towards achieving professional success while still having fun. For over a decade, I have been guiding individuals and organizations through professional transitions. The goal this hour is to help you, your business, or organization create a successful, engaging atmosphere without sacrificing a positive culture. So, let's get started. Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening. I'm Misha, and thank you for listening to the Misha Rauser Show. In this show, we're going to be live every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. and talking about leadership and professional development. Basically, everything you need to know to be more confident and competent in your professional life. We're going to be talking about things like communication skills, personal productivity, leading without authority, everything even to emotional intelligence. So by listening each week, you will acquire the tools and wisdom and exposure to help you in your professional development. And I am extremely honored and happy to have as my first guest on the show, Kathleen O'Brien. So Kathleen is an author, and she has done a lot in her career. One of the big things she has coming up right now, though, she has a book called Emerge that's going to be coming out. So first of all, let me welcome you. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me. It's exciting to be with you, and especially in this debut.
I know.
I'm so honored. I'm privileged.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Okay, so let me give you a little bit of bio on Kathleen. So Kathleen brings about 30 years plus as an award-winning educator, writer, strategic planner, and project consultant in the sustainable building field. Kathleen has been you've been providing leadership development support, including training, mentoring, and tools to green building professionals with the ultimate goal of making this world a better place for all living species now and into the future. Mm-hmm. It's pretty lofty goals. So Kathleen's new book is going to be coming out hopefully in about a month. It's called Emerge, a Strategic Leadership Model for the Sustainable Building Community. And while this is geared towards the sustainable building community, I would highly recommend it for anybody who is looking at how they can step more confidently in the type of leader that they want to be, but especially around, too, somebody who wants to make an impact and change in whatever environment they're in.
Right. I mean, one of the things that I wanted to do is be more than something that someone would read and maybe put on the shelf or even just inspire, that it actually would equip people with some ideas. And that's always sort of part of my DNA, let's put it that way, is okay, roll up your sleeves. Now you've got the idea. Let's actually do something. Let's get something done.
Part of that then is when you and I were talking about, you know, what we wanted to talk about on the show. Mm-hmm. And I asked you, you know, if there was one thing that you'd want them to take away, what would that be? And part of what you were thinking about was it's around the story. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's really an understanding of finding out what is a story that's holding change in place, and then how do you start to change that story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and that, you know, that's another sort of evolutionary thing. It was in my earlier projects, I noticed things were happening, some good things were happening accidentally, and I realized that I asked the question, maybe we could actually have these things happen more intentionally. And one of the things that I saw happening, sort of the general category of things, was that stories changed. Stories for individuals, stories for organizations, they changed. And so this question was, could we actually intentionally change the narrative towards some positive result? And I have a great example of a building project, in which that were the case. So it was a human services organization in the city of Bremerton. They do a lot of good, around helping develop financial independence, connecting people to services for good health, education, those kinds of things. So already, whatever they did, it was good, right? They wanted to do a green building. They wanted to do an environmentally sensitive building. They wanted it to be certified by LEED, which is the Leadership for Energy and Environmental Design Standard, that certification. And when I met with them, I asked them, so why do you want to do this? And as we had that conversation, it became very, very clear that they were all about really helping their clientele and their employees have a better life. And so I really poked at them a little bit and said, well, is it really important for you to get this plaque, you know, for the wall? You know, it's a good thing. Obviously, I'm here. This is something that, you know, I'm all about. But what's the story that you want to tell? And it became clear that it wasn't about being an energy efficient building to save, you know, kilowatt hours or something like that. It could be about being energy, sort of saving energy to be prudent with resources. You know, not just their own resources, but then as an example for their clientele. In another case, I mean, they were going to have a healthier building. And so they were also going to be modeling this for their clientele. And not just their clientele, but the people who worked for them. So one of the aspects of LEED is to have a tobacco-free building, for example. Several of their employees stopped smoking as a result of this process. The other thing was within the community, they were going to be the first LEED building within their community. So they were going to be this beacon of hope within the city of Bremerton, which actually had been coming, they were really just coming out of an economically depressed time. So it could be so much more. You know, they could tell a new story. And they were a great vehicle for that.
Yeah, and I love how you, with the discussion of that and when you're explaining it, is it changed then, okay, we just want to do the right thing of having an efficient building, to it actually changing themselves and helping to even make an impact and change the community. But a lot of that was through the story. Mm-hmm. Or what is the story that's being told around it?
Right. I mean, I think that as a leader, you're not necessarily trying to reverse a story.
Right. Yeah, and so you're making me think about also a friend and a colleague of mine who works for the city of Seattle, and he's in organizational development side and so mm-hmm. forth, and it was brilliant when one of the things that he was putting together was a workshop that I would call it more of a facilitation, where he was inviting people from all over the organization to come in to then ferret out, what is the story? What is the story of who we are at the city of Seattle? And it was interesting because, like you're saying, it's a layer where at first what bubbles up, oh, well, we do this and we do that, and it's kind of that mission out there. But then what starts to come up are the things like, oh, well, we are a bureaucracy and we can't get things done. There's that myth that starts to come up, but that's part of the story. Or there's, oh, but we can't do that because we're this. Or, yeah, no, we've tried that before. So all of those things become also the story that holds and keeps change from happening.
Right. It's the making that explicit is what's necessary in order to make the change. Because to be a change agent, and I don't like to use the word change agent so much, but agent of change, I think I prefer, is to sort of bring those things to the surface, bring those ideas to the surface that actually get in our way.
If we're trying to change the narrative and you know, we're thinking about, okay, how do we do that? And what are the little nuggets that we leave? You know, it's using words like, you know, what if? I love what if. You know, of conversations with colleagues, what if we did this? What if we were like that? It's a lot of bringing appreciative inquiry in, you know, what is the potential? And it's planting those little seeds that can help people move through the transformation. And it's very similar and not unlike our own personal change. You know, it's the same seeds that sometimes we are so stuck where we are that we have to mentally plant our own seeds of just, what if? What if I was able to move up in my career? What if I did take, you know, that position that's been scaring me? Or what if I, you know, it could be anything as simple of, what if I, you know, was 10 pounds lighter? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is.
Yeah, right.
There's always, it's that same spiral dynamic, that same movement through the cycle. Mm-hmm. What might be really helpful is we're kind of teasing people right now, like, oh my God, what are these stages of change? How about if we share, what are some of those stages to change?
So, yeah, that's a really good question. So obviously, the first one is really, it's pre-contemplation. And I'm using actually the model of Doppelt. So Doppelt actually is an author in the sustainable world, but he relies on an earlier model that comes from sort of the health the health sciences, and Prochaska is actually the author in that case. Actually, I'm going to go to Prochaska because I think it helps really clarify this for a lot of people. So in Prochaska's research, they came up with stages of change, starting with pre-contemplation, which is exactly what it sounds like, which is before one really knows that there's something happening, but you know something's wrong. Mm. And then contemplation, where you know something's wrong and you're thinking about it. Preparation, which is, I think, should be obvious to most people, and action is next. And then maintenance is next. And then relapse is next. So for Prochaska, relapse is part of this growth process. And in going through this process, in each of these stages, there are ways, or let's say ways and means, if you will, that are most effective for one to move to the next step. And then there are ways that are not so good. They might be helpful if you were further along than, and people who are working with people and others, excuse me, in change projects might introduce them too early and not actually realize that. So, for example, a reward and punishing type of program might work when people were further along with the change, whereas they won't work with someone who's really early and just maybe in pre-contemplation, right?
Yeah.
So this it's kind of scientific, but actually, if you think about your own thing, sort of, your own processes, like, well, you know, I'm not feeling really well, and I smoke, and so I think I'll smoke less. You know, it might be, you know, sort of, you know, something's wrong, but you don't quite know what it is. So you might actually take more vitamins, you know, instead of quitting smoking, something like that. So eventually you'll get that weight. It's actually the smoking that's causing this problem.
Yeah.
And so liken that to a company that might have a habit, right? It's, that they have that they don't even know. It's so habitual. It's so ingrained in the organization's DNA that they don't even know that it's there anymore.
Yeah.
Right. In order for them to change, you actually have to rise that to the surface. This is where someone who is a leader, whether it's within the organization or without the organization, can be very helpful, because we get so inured to the way things are that we don't even see them anymore.
Right.
Right.
And it's hard then, like you're saying, to help others see it. So that goes back to, you know, helping to explicitly expose the narrative. This is the narrative we've been falling into, you know, and then asking those what if questions. What if we did do it different? What might that look like? Right. Even if you have something in your mind, sometimes it's not, you don't necessarily need to tell them exactly what you're thinking, because they're in the pre-contemplation. They're even just trying to get their head around, oh, I didn't think this was a problem. Hmm.
Right. Oh, is there a problem? Exactly.
Right.
What ifs are great. They're a great tool, especially. And it's you know, I would be lying if I said that whenever I approached an organization, I knew right off, you know, it was obvious what their issues were, what the potential for change was. That comes over time, right? The most important thing is actually open the door to the conversation, open the door to understanding the story. The story becomes, it is revealed.
Yeah.
Right? It isn't just, you know, if you look at, the first thing you can do, you know, you can look at the mission, you can look at, read their business reports or things like that. You could write your own personal biography, you know, and get some details. But, you know, about who you are. But then it's in, okay, so if this is what I think my story is, then what's the meaning of this? So I like to recommend people, there's a tool that I love to use, which is Mind Map.
Yeah.
This is not a visual media, so I can't show the audience what I'm talking about. But if you can imagine, you know, a circle in the middle of a white piece of paper, and you have a topic, and let's say the topic is me, nice. Which of course most people are. And the topic is me and my growth, and then it'd be like, okay, so what might be, you know, a branch off of that might be my health, you know, and then off of that there'll be branches like my physical health or my spiritual health, etc. And then I would explore that, So tools like that can actually help me get dig deeper into the DNA of my story, because it's too easy for most of us to say, well, this is who I am,
yep.
you know, and this is how far I'll get. And this is particularly important, I think, for people who are working for large organizations who might feel powerless in those organizations. You know, actually, you in the sidebar talk about someone who does not have, you know, power. The example that you use does not have power in an organization, but really ends up stimulating, you know, a change from without.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and a lot of what that was. So again, you can start to see the similarities between creating change within your organization or so forth, and within yourself. And the same thing is asking, then once you've kind of dissected the story of what's holding this in place, what's my own narrative, you know, let's say a personal change, what's my own narrative holding this in place, and you start to dissect that, then it's starting to then ask, well, the what-if questions. Mm-hmm. What if that wasn't the story anymore? You know, what are the possibilities? And that's what we even talk about then in that sidebar when I was mm-hmm. saying, if you're not in a position of power, you can still create change just by raising those what-if questions. And it was pretty cool because in that sidebar, in that particular situation, it was interesting to watch that just by her planting those seeds, other people started taking ownership and started to share those conversations of what if, I think this, I think, what if we did this? And another committee was formed without her involvement to make the change that she was trying to initiate from the very beginning.
And, you know, Misha, you're really pointing to something that's very, very important in terms of emergent leadership is ownership. Who owns the change? Who owns the story?
Great point.
An emergent leader doesn't have to, like, control the story or the storyline. You know, that's not what's important. What's important is the result. What's important is the trajectory. You know, and the emergent leader is one piece along the way of the development of that story, and doesn't feel like they have to own the results.
Yeah.
And that's pretty powerful, actually, because once you have the whole village, you know, sharing in the story and sharing in the leadership, just imagine what can happen.
Yeah. And, you know, but that's it's easier said than done, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're such human beings, we want to own it. And with ownership means we control it because we have this vision of what it's going to look like.
Uh-huh.
And it's so hard to also realize you need to let go of that. It's a shared vision, like you were saying about the community. If it's always just your vision, it's going to be really hard to get that to happen. But if it's a shared vision that you're willing to let go of, it's actually probably not going to look exactly the way you wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
but it'll last longer.
It will.
I mean, it'll last longer. It'll be more sustaining. And that's the whole point.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes, and you probably have seen this too, and we just to wrap things up really quickly, but sometimes, you know, have you ever been in a situation, though, or seen a situation where the change started, you know, what somebody wanted to do, and they let go of it, and it was not the change that they wanted? I mean, that can be really frustrating too. And so have you seen anybody in that, in a particular situation? Or if that was to happen, what do you do?
Well, there's always the making lemonades, you know, mm-hmm. out of lemons. There actually is an important sort of humbling aspect to that. I think you become a better leader.
Mm.
And the organization might have gone in a different direction, but that doesn't mean it's the wrong direction.
Nice. Yeah. And I think that is something that would probably be hard for some people, because if they're seeing one thing and it's a different, then it's how do you let go of that? Which sounds like it might be a perfect topic to have you back on the show again at a future date. So we have been talking with Kathleen O'Brien in her book, Emerge. And probably by the time you hear this, or if you are listening to this live, it'll be about a month from now. And any other last words, Kathleen, that you'd like to share before we sign off?
I think try and take the risk, you know, really know that you have a body of knowledge and experience, and regardless of the position that you're in, you can lead.
That's
I think that's
wonderful.
What I would say, yeah.
Excellent. So join me here every Tuesday morning on the Misha Rauser Show on KKNW 1150. You can also, again, get this more information on my website, which is, again, MishaRauser.com. All kinds of information on how to grow professionally as a leader, And just basically a lot of this stuff also relates to your own personal life too. So for any of those, and if you have any questions, I would be happy to answer those for you. Just send them to me on my website. Otherwise, we are signing off and we will see you next week. Thank you, Kathleen, and thank you, Benny.
Thanks so much for having me.